lets you know a little bit about what Moses mentioned, lest we all misunderstand. You think I'd like correcting people? I just have to do what I have to do. I mean, that's what we did. Okay. Just to let you know concerning Terrence as well. It's a couple of days ago. Terrence actually drove to church, and then he told me I couldn't hear. So I'm an expert in not hearing. So I straight away made a call to my ENT doctor, and I used his handphone. So I said, can I bring somebody from my church to come and see you? Because no appointment, nothing, you know. So he said, yes, come right now. So we rushed over. And just in case anything happens, so Ben Kwa came along with me. And so he took one look at him and he said, Pastor, this one looks like your problem. Well, then he examined it and he said, no, this is probably an infection, but it will resolve itself very shortly. So we're just glad that, our Deacon Terrence Stake is back and he's able to hear again. And we just rejoice in all these things here. This week has been a very, very, very challenging week. First, there was immediately after the Perth camp, and then there was a funeral service, and then, I guess it's a little bit more challenging because if they are very much closer to your heart. So then there was, I know Terrence from way back when we Bethany first began. I, of course, automatically I would say, yeah, I'll bring you down to the city doctor. There was with Kim and rushed back. And then Boon Huat was not well. He was in hospital too. And so it was like, wow, one after the other. And when they are particularly close to the heart, you know, you get hit really much harder because you just feel it so much more. This is not just another person who is sick. They are just close to your heart. And so, you just look at it and it's a great challenge. So along the way, if you get eye care, so tomorrow I won't write since I already wrote today. So you read it tomorrow or read it again if you need to. But, that happens. So, whose fault? Your fault. You get sick. I feel with you. I write eye care wrong day. So. Okay, just so that we can share the blame together. but seriously, this is the text that we want to remember. Remember Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, if we take a look at it, right? And this is, sorry, I don't have the bulletin with me. Can I just get it? It's on page 10. Right? Well, let's take a look at, I think it's on page 10 still. But the best thing is to memorize the Lord's word in the heart so you don't need to worry about it. But that's wonderful. And so to all of us, when we go through things like that, during the week, when we have to minister to the family, it is coming to the throne of grace. Driving Terrence to hospital are the throne of grace. Seeing Boon Huat in hospital, praying for him at night and the morning, the throne of grace. How wonderful it is to know that God is there at the throne of grace. Well, let's do this text together. Okay? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you never know when you will need. It will come unexpectedly. And it is so good to be able to know that we can come to the throne of grace and God is there. And he will hear our prayers. And our prayers become so much more real, so much more personal. And I think that is something that we don't want to take for granted. Well, let's pray together this morning. Our Father, we thank you that we have this throne of grace to which we can come and there find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pray that you would help us to understand this and help us to appreciate afresh what this means in our lives personally. And so we want to ask you to open our hearts and our minds and understand it, your word once again better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when the student pastors talk to me and I go to different churches, one of the things that they describe me as is one who opens up the Word of God so that it comes alive. Well, this is what I want to try and do for you this morning too. Open up the whole book of Hebrews for you. Can we do this? And the answer is yes. What do we look for? And there are three things that we want to look for as we open up the book of Hebrews. Sometimes we get so lost in looking at the trees, we can't see the wood. And this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. What are we looking at? And there are three things that we want to seriously consider. Number one, think about this. Of course, the whole theme is that he is the captain of our salvation. And he's come to give to us salvation. And the book of Hebrews talks about the salvation that God actually gives. And with the salvation, there will be things that will accompany so that you know that you are truly saved. Now, that was the Easter idea. How do we know that we are truly saved? How do we know we have obtained salvation? It becomes very clear in our lives, by our works, in the activities we do, we can understand it. So the book of Hebrews opens up. The Lord Jesus Christ is introduced as the captain of our salvation. So look for the theme of salvation throughout the whole book of Hebrews. Whole book will open up for much more. Number two. And this is something that was that came true very, very, very strongly, perhaps even more so yesterday at the worship service, at the wedding service of Shui and Ben. At the end of it all, Ben says, "Can I regard you as my father?" So I had to speak to Mr. Chong. "Well, how do you feel about it, just in case he just thinks, you know, I've stolen his son from him?" Okay? So I had to ask him first. But he said, "Of course." "So you lost your dad?" "No, not really." But the second word in the book of Hebrews is the word called sonship. Sometimes we think sonship is easier. Actually, it's not. To be trained as a student pastor is not so difficult. To be son is even harder. Why? Because you are now personally accountable. A student pastor may lapse from time to time. A son cannot. The sonship concept was well developed and well exemplified in the book of Hebrews. This is son. Son of God, learning obedience, fulfilling the word of God. Sonship is harder than you imagine. And I think this is something that we need to understand and appreciate. Not an easy thing to be addressed that way. I think this is what I told Ben Kwa, the same thing. He calls me dad because I'm his godfather. And I tell him very clearly that when you step into the pastoral ministry, you have a double challenge. One, to be trained as a pastor. Two, to be son. And it is not easy to fulfill those roles. But exactly the book of Hebrews. Jesus portrays for us sonship. And it's something that we don't take for granted. It is something that becomes alive, it becomes real, it becomes personal, but it is exciting if we know how to appreciate it. Because it takes you up to a totally different realm. It's another level of relationship. Obviously, and this is something that we don't take for granted. Because it's not only from a son, it means our big father too. And so, sometimes when Della is with a group of her friends and all that, and I call her, and I seldom call her by her name. I would always use Niamin. And she's the only one who knows how to respond. Yeah, he's speaking to me. Nobody else responds. So that she's the only one who knows that I'm addressing her. That is commitment on my part to look after you in a slightly different way. And it can be a very, very, very moving thing to understand a father-son relationship. And the book of Hebrews is of how Jesus teaches us how to be sons of God. Now, that's the second thing to look for in the book of Hebrews. Here is the third. This is where the message is this morning. What is it? And I see this quite a bit. As a pastor, I have been called different terms in different ways. Sometimes people call me, I know one person in Seletar Hills, his name is Mr. Chong, he's next door to me, and he always calls me Padre. How are you, morning? Good morning, Padre. Padre, okay, Padre. Okay, I get used to it. Sometimes people don't know, they call me, good morning, Father. What is, how does that work? Because they associate me with a Roman Catholic priest, they call me Father. So when people come out of the lift with me and I press number 4 and they come up to me, if they say, call me Father, I understand, because I brought them up. Right? So all the way from B4 to level 4, you know, so I brought them up. So if they call me Father, I understand. But, you know, sometimes they call me priest. Right? Once in a while, they get it right and they call me pastor. But actually, they don't know what a pastor is anyway. What is this idea? Of what does it really mean to be pastor anyway? Seriously. Well, that is one of the major foci of the book of Hebrews, where Jesus fulfills his role called priesthood. And we take a look at this in chapter 7. All right, so three aspects. One, salvation. He is the captain, the leader of our salvation, the one who gives us salvation, in other words. Two, here he is, sonship. He practices it, shows us how to be that son. And then finally, this morning, we take a look at this whole idea of priesthood. What is it all about? Now, take a look at, so the only way to understand it is to compare the priesthood that the Jews knew about in the days, from the days of Moses. But let's take a look in chapter 7, and we'll see some of these things here. Okay, now this is important for us to understand. What does a priest really, really do? And this is something that we, chapter 7 and in verse 4, we read. Verse 5, those who are the sons of Levi, they receive a priesthood. Right? So this idea of being a priest is received from God. Okay, you are now made priest. And the idea of priesthood is the idea of one who worships God, who leads in the worship of God, and that's what it is. So what Moses did this morning to lead the congregation in worship is actually part of priesthood. Right? How do we focus? How do we approach God? What thoughts should we have? What should our hearts be like? What songs of praise should we sing? So they are being trained, as it were, to become priests of God. That's the idea of it all. We don't use the word priest today very much, but that is the idea of it all. They have received a priesthood, chapter 7 and verse 5. Okay, so this is important for us to understand first. All right, now secondly. They have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law from their brethren. Now, I think this is something that we want to take a look at. And here we go. They are to receive. Now, this is something that that we want to consider. And I was ministering in Perth last week. So one of the people who attended camp was deeply touched and moved. And so he said to me, "Pastor, if I had known of your building project earlier, I would have given you the check to cover the whole project. That's $10 million. Now, there I am, functioning like a priest. How should I receive such office?" So I said, "Thank you very kindly, but that's not how I would like you to understand our building projects. We don't look for eight-figure checks. That's the whole challenge." You see, so I explained to him. So as part of priesthood, we explain how to look at offerings, how to look at gifts, how to look at this, how to look at that, and we teach. And so we teach the idea of ownership, the idea of love, the idea of commitment, the idea of everyone involved. Because if we have one person who will just pay for everything else, we would have all missed the point. But it is far more wonderful to see how the Lord will move hearts to give. So that is part of it. We receive tithes. So we teach people. So the person asked me, "How should I look at tithes then?" Okay, well, let's look at how we can understand it better. Okay, and so this is important for us to understand and appreciate. So he said to me, he says, "My brother just gave $30 million away." Well, I want to do the same thing. Yeah, no, no, no. But I understand what it is. But remember, we don't want to do this because this is how we do it in the Lord's name. So our part is to teach people, to explain to people how it works, why we should give, and so forth. That's what it is. Okay? Now, this is important. So these are the important things that we do. So we lead in worship. We help people to understand the tithes. We receive them, as it were, and we present them as gifts to the Lord. Right? Now, this is something that we all need to understand further. Now, that is the idea of priesthood. Now, here comes Jesus. And he does similar things, except something else quite different. Well, let's take a look at what he came to do. Right? Let's look at chapter 7. And this is very, very important for us to understand. Okay? Now, in chapter 7, and in verse 18-19, and we read, okay, when Christ came in verse 16 particularly, okay, we read, "The Lord's word declared, 'You are a priest forever.'" So the role of the Lord Jesus is not just to be a leader of salvation. He's not just going to show us what sonship is. He functions as our priest as well. Now, this is important. You know, sometimes you hear people, Christians, pray, and they say, always pray in Jesus' name. Why? In Jesus' name is not a substitute for yours faithfully. As we pray to God, yours sincerely. Certainly, it is not best regards. It's not. So what is it all about? Why we use the Lord Jesus' name is simply because our prayers are not going to get through otherwise. That is the role of a priest. Let us say that people wanted to go and offer, make an offering to God. Can they just anyhow, listen, I'll just set up a fire here and I offer it. That offering would be rejected. It will not be accepted. You need the priest because his role is to stand on behalf of God, appointed priest. His role is to go and represent God on the one hand. On the other hand, his role is to pray on behalf of the people to God. Now, I get prayer of requests quite often. You know, so sometimes I ask people, you know, you ask me to pray and I will pray. So I ask the person, what about you? Are you praying? And the person will always say, Pastor, when you pray, very different. You like you got a hotline to God. It's pretty amazing, right? So if you think that I have a hotline to God, you have the same hotline. You just need to learn. Okay, so I want to send a disclaimer. Not because I pray better. Okay? And not because my prayers are more, God will look at my prayers a little bit more than your prayers. In which case, you better re-examine your life, your faith, your walk with God. Because it shouldn't work that way. Right? But in always, that's a situation where everybody, we try everything, it doesn't work. I think better let Pastor Charlie know. When he prays, and always I get the last moment, the person is hospital, the person is going to die, then Pastor, please come. Please don't do this to me. I also have a heart problem. Don't stress me out. I already have allergic problem. Now I don't need a heart problem too. Okay, but seriously, and I really wish you could understand this. This is for you to comprehend the idea of priesthood. Okay, now we go on further to look at these things here. All right, this is important. His order of Melchizedek. Now that is interesting to see. In the local system, in the Jewish system, in the Mosaic system, that order is called the Levitical order. Then in the Levitical order, only the tribe of Levi, and then there is a high priest out of them, from the family of Aaron. Now, we often talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. You cannot have a system where only one high priest exists. There must be a priesthood. Where is the priesthood? Now, that is an interesting question, isn't it? Who are the priests? If the Levites help the Aaronic family, the priestly family, who is in the priesthood of the Melchizedek kind of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are the priests? Now, we often think of the Lord Jesus Christ as priest all the time, and we fail to ask ourselves this important question, who are these priests? Now, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you have the answer here. Okay, now this is important for us to understand. In chapter 2 and verse 9. And the answer is here. But you are a chosen generation. Now, that's the first part of it. Okay, so when Christ came, the people he has chosen, and that's our theme for next 2 months. Chosen. We are part of that chosen generation. In this chosen generation, we are given a royal priesthood. Now, let's understand what this is. Christ is the high priest. Thank God that he is. All of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are added on to a priesthood that is called royal. Because Christ is the king, therefore is royal. So it is no longer an issue of a Levitical priesthood, but it is the whole challenge, the whole concept of it all, what it means to be part of that priesthood. So where do the pastors come in? How do they fit in? They are there to exemplify what it means to be royal priests of God. But of course, they must be there. This is their role. They must pray better. They must pray the way they should. They must continue to be priests and be teaching people concerning the laws of God. And I think this is something that we really want to look at very carefully. How does it work? And I think this is something that I heard when I was in Perth. Someone came up to me and said, "Pastor, we were attending another church. And we like that particular pastor. You know, he actually explains the Word of God very, very clearly, and we like the church pastor. But one of the Sundays when we were there, we were told that he was sacked." Now, how did he get sacked? Why did he get sacked? He said, well, that is the reason where he got sacked was because as pastors, let's say we have a building project, right? And we have the $10 million project. So then student pastors must raise $500,000. Associate pastors, each one must raise $2 million each. And then we see. So if he hasn't raised $500,000, if they have not raised $2 million each, at the end of the project, they are terminated. So you can't be serious. That's what it is. Well, that is not how it works here in the scriptures. They're not our fundraisers. That is not the point. But the challenge for us to seriously consider is this whole idea of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. We follow his lifestyle. We look at, you know, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you actually see his priesthood there very clearly. One, he teaches the Word of God. That is the work of a priest. Two, he prays for people and he raises people from their sick beds, even from their death beds. That is how he fulfilled his role throughout all his life's work on this earth. And that's why when the disciples were being trained, what were they actually to do? They have to understand they are being prepared for royal priesthood. And that is our role. That is our challenge. And to me, that is exciting to understand and appreciate. So there are three things to look for as we open up the book of Hebrews. One, what is salvation? Who is the one who brought salvation? And that's Christ Jesus. Two, how do we relate to God now as sons of God? Is how do we see? Well, there we go. The Lord Jesus Christ, perfect example. And now the third idea. Here he is, our great high priest. Can we do this? Yes. Isn't it wonderful to see all these things here? Right? We have a great covenant. Only in this covenant, Gentiles can be saved. Gentiles can be called sons of God. Gentiles can be introduced to the idea of their becoming actually royal priests of God. And Jesus leads the way completely. What a wonderful thought this really, really, really is. And so this morning, as we ask ourselves, what are we learning from all these things here? It's good for us to ask ourselves what this is. So some of the Bible verses that we have, like this morning, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, this is the word boldly again here. We see this word boldly in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13, verse 29. We see this word boldly in Philippians 1:20. We see this word boldly in Hebrews 4:16. There is a boldness that we allow to have when we come to the throne of God. So there is a throne. Don't take it for granted. And so we come before the Lord as people who are allowed to come before Him. How wonderful that really, really, really is. Okay, now in verse 25, we read, right? 24, 25, He continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Right? So He is our priest. He is our king, right? And of course, He is prophet to us as well. So He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, because He lives to make intercession for them. What does it mean for us? Look at verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, become higher than the heavens. How wonderful it is to know that we can come to the Lord in this way. So as I read the book of Hebrews, I am excited to learn these three broad truths. Right? One, I value my salvation even more when I know the captain of my salvation personally. And I rejoice in my salvation so very much more. Two, I learn sonship. And we all practice sonship. And that is something that we need to look at very carefully. So we look at the idea of sonship. We're just excited because, you know, it just takes our understanding of salvation to a next level. I am saved that I may be son. That's what it means. So I'm saved to be son. How do I practice sonship? And the Lord Jesus Christ shows us how we can do that. Right? And then from there, how do I serve? And our service for the Lord, one of the most beautiful of which is that of priesthood. Think about this. And sometimes we get so discouraged about this and that. Priesthood is a wonderful thing. See, it's easier to actually get people to sing in a choir, practice for hours, than to get somebody to pray for hours. Now, you can serve the whole day through, but you try to pray the whole day through. And some people pray, and they pray very hard, and close their eyes, great intensity. Then they open their eyes, and they look at their watch. Only 5 minutes. And you thought, wow, I actually prayed for so long. No, it's only 5 minutes. How to go and pray for the next 55 minutes? And most people can't. And, you know, it's so wonderful to tie all these things together. Salvation, sonship, servanthood as priests. And when you understand these three truths that pull together the whole book of Hebrews, this book will come alive to you. And this is my challenge for you. Reread this book as we are, you know, close the reading of this book here. And, you know, be challenged to read further, to go further. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank You that the Word of God is not a mystery, but it is revealed to us. And we pray, Father, that You would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand and appreciate the meanings that we can derive from the reading of the Scriptures. Thank You for salvation. From salvation, sonship. And from sonship, whole idea of servanthood and priesthood. Help us to understand what it means to pray for people. help us to most of all remember how the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Help us to pray with even greater boldness and confidence. Bless this offering now that we give. In Jesus' name, amen.